This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hi, and welcome to Saxo's Market Call on Tuesday, the 3rd of August, 2021, a little bit later than usual. We are thin on the team because of holidays, and I was on radio this morning, so that's why it's a little bit postponed. It's a little bit also a more thin, slight deck than usual, but we should be back and operating normally tomorrow. But on slide two, Ole, courtesy of you, your input here, you have put in the biggest story, I think, overnight, and that was that Tencent at one point was down 11%. One of the large newspapers in China had an online story basically calling gaming a spiritual opium, and you know, equivalent into electronic drugs. And we've been here before. A couple of years ago, Tencent was battered in Chinese equity markets because of the same attack on gaming, especially on, you know, gaming for kids, and that was pretty tough one for Tencent, but it has come back remarkably ever since, and gaming is bigger than ever in China. But it seems like that maybe something is stirring up here in China. The newspaper article was both made in print and an online. The online version was taken down very quickly after this reaction, but it might be canary in the coal mine of what to expect going forward. We know that there's a lot of crackdown happening in the technology online industry of China, and other technology stocks in China were also taking a hit. Before we go to you on commodities,
just generally, Peter, we had a reasonably quiet start to the session today, both in the US and Europe. We saw some sell-off into the close yesterday in the US. Once again, we had some weaker than expected data.
ISM manufacturing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that came on top of the weaker data we had from China into yesterday's session. So so overall, a market which is too early to say whether it's topping out or not, but at least we're getting some data here, which is just taking the market a little bit by surprise here. And we are seeing it a bit more of a sideways trading pattern. But nevertheless, what that weakness in the data supported is there was another drop in bond yields. We dropped all the way down to 1.15 in the U.S. 10-year Treasury yields.
New record on real yields.
New record low on real yields. Absolutely no reaction in the gold market. As I wrote in a quick take this morning, it looks like gold, just like many other participants, have gone on holiday. Really not prepared to respond to any of for gold, significant and supportive development. So it just raised the question, well, what happens if we do see a backup in yields? Will the market then ignore that as well, or will that trigger a negative reaction? That's just, I think, one of the reasons why we're seeing quite a bit of nervousness in the market right now. And I, for one, probably sitting on my hands. If I was looking to enter gold, I would be waiting for a break above 1833.
All right. Three specific company news also have happened. So you here on slide three, you've put in the Maersk. Maersk is the world's largest shipping company, Danish-based, and they're lifting their guidance, and analysts are already out saying that they expect Maersk to raise their guidance even further toward a year end, simply because of the galloping shipping rates, which you have already, I can see, tweeted out this morning. I mean, it's just on fire, basically, on all markets.
It is indeed. Actually, I sent that out yesterday because, as I said, we now got the World Container Index from the Drewry, which basically a company called Drewry, which collects these data, basically trading 6.3x above the 5-year average. So currently, $9,300. Dollars per container, and I put that out yesterday, basically saying we there's this market basically needs some guidance. We're looking for the Maersk Q2 report on Friday, but obviously they came out already overnight with this guidance, so it clearly highlights that this market is still on fire. I've read in the report that they are not seeing any signs of normalization at least until the end of the year. And then potentially we need to get back into 22 before we can see some normalization there.
And the Delta variant on COVID-19 is we know is also, you know, there are different pockets are actually coming to life, if you will, or new cases of this Delta variant is popping up in China in various locations, which could potentially add to the, you know, the world's factory and global supply chain disruptions. And we had those two ports a little bit more than a month ago that were shut down very quickly in China. And with the Delta variant running loose in in many parts of the world, who knows whether other ports will be closed down. But before we go to the Delta variant and its impact potentially on the oil market, in early trading here in Europe, we have had two earnings releases, one from BMW, I mentioned that yesterday, and Infineon Technologies. So Infineon Technologies is the largest semiconductor supplier to the car industry. And basically, they are under severe pressure. They cannot deliver their semiconductor components to the car industry. There are so many constraints. They're doing everything they can to ramp up production, but it's just a nightmare for these car makers. And BMW basically said they're feeling the pressure on rising commodity prices, and they are facing severe constraints on the semiconductor side. I haven't looked yet at BMW's earnings result in terms of their segmentation data, how well they're doing on the electric vehicles deliveries. I'll be doing something on Twitter on that later today.
And on that front, Peter, just a side note, one of our colleagues just highlighted, if you look at the rare earth section, something like Lynas, which is the biggest rare earth play outside China. Remember, rare earth is critically important for many of these as a component, many of these conductors. We've seen this company now up, I think, some like 4x from the low last year. So it just highlights that the companies that can produce and sell these small metals that's required, they're on fire as well.
Yeah, but well, you have some thoughts here, because we talked about it yesterday, Ole. We had a market hiccup, and the oil market definitely felt that hiccup, and it's all related to this the Delta variant, which is much more virulent than the other variants, and it's posing potentially some risk to the global growth and demand for oil.
Because obviously we also have to acknowledge that we have a vaccine rollout, which is obviously supporting mobility around the world, but it is just incredible. We're now more than 18 months into this pandemic, and God knows how many times we've had to look at the demand outlook because of the a new virus variant is starting to play havoc. I just read this morning that out of half of China's the Delta variant is now being detected in half of Chinese regions, half of all the Chinese regions, and that's happened just over the past 2 weeks. So that is really the reason, I think the main reason, on top of the weak data we had yesterday from the US, that Brent crude suddenly dumped $2.50 in yesterday's session. We're seeing a small pickup today, but generally, again, if we see this virus in China, which is a major threat, it's the world's biggest import of crude oil, then the market is in for a prolonged period of sideways trading. I just want to add, and I put in one of my tweets I sent out this morning, there was a production report, a survey out yesterday from Bloomberg, Reuters, Argus, all these, and Platts, they all produce surveys. And this one from Bloomberg just highlights that the only countries that are actually right now is actually living up to being able to produce what they're allowed to by the quotas are Saudi Arabia, or basically the GCC countries. We're seeing Iran, Nigeria, and Angola all struggling to, even though they are allowed to increase the turn on the taps, they're struggling to get back to their quota levels. And that does obviously raise the question, how much is the actual level of spare capacity? So if we get this variant under control and the demand is not significantly impacted, then the upside potential for crude oil is still there.
All right.
If I just should finish
on commodities.
On the commodity notes here, I had a bit more time than you today, Peter, to add some slides. So on slide four, just highlighting the so-called roll yield that we have talked about in previous podcasts. Basically, that when you have a positive roll yield, that's basically when the front months of a futures contract, a futures curve is trading higher than further out, and that is a reflection of the market where supplies are tight. And right now we are seeing tightness, not only in energy, but we also just recently seen a pop higher in the industrial metals. Agriculture has been in the less, we've seen a small decline there in the tightness generally, but overall the commodity space is still offering a positive roll yield, and that is a sign that the market is still tight across several key commodities.
Excellent, Ole. In terms of the macro calendar, is a little bit thin today. We have the Market Canada PMI manufacturing data from July. Let's see whether that can surprise to the upside given the latest softness we have seen in other countries. We have factory orders in the US for June. That's a lagging indicator, so much not of much interest. For the ones that trade the Kiwi dollar, so the New Zealand is scheduling its Q2 employment data. Late tonight, European time. So for those that are trading the currency there, that might have a look. Ole, do you want to add anything to your oil and product stock report today, the weekly one?
Only that the surveys ahead of EIA's weekly report tomorrow are looking for another drop in both the oil and product stocks. And that is providing some underlying support, but probably we'll keep an eye on mobility as well, gasoline consumption and so on, just to see whether we are seeing an impact on the mobility in the US from this recent pickup. So it's just an appetizer for tomorrow's main course.
Yeah, and otherwise the main course, there are several this week, but the first main course will start tomorrow. We have the ADP employment change, which is always 2 days ahead of the non-farm, which is on Friday. We'll get an idea of how the U.S. labor market is progressing. We know there is a record high job listings in the U.S., so I imagine that the employment change there is quite attractive for the U.S. economy. Then also we have the ISM services index for July in the U.S. tomorrow. That one will be very key because, as you pointed out, Ole, with the vaccinations rollout across the many countries, specifically as well in the US, you would imagine that the service sector increasingly get into a higher gear, because over the past year it has really been the goods manufacturing sector that have been driving economic growth. And then we have the Fed's Clarita, which is the voter on the FOMC. He will have a speech tomorrow. We'll talk more about that in tomorrow's podcast. On slide 7, we have the earnings watch for this week. I've highlighted Alibaba. I don't know yet. I looked at the Bloomberg Terminal. I don't think they have reported yet, so they will probably report tonight after the US close, maybe. And otherwise, if you're into gaming, then Activision Blizzard could be an interesting one to follow. I know BP has already reported today. That was a good result. We have ConocoPhillips in the US later, and Amgen in the biotech, and otherwise, I've highlighted in red, we talked about it yesterday, the key earnings to watch there, but we'll talk about that in tomorrow's podcast. I actually think that's a wrap for today. It says a short one today, Ole, but we did a very long one yesterday.
Yeah, so that's to compensate. So exactly. We'll be back tomorrow.
Exactly. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.